Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Haskatyare Shatarine Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jota Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Ragunatang Tang Sadivam Sadvetang Savathutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vidangsa Hey Krishna Karuna Shindu Dinabandhu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Oh Hare Thank you. So, Hare Krishna. It is very nice to see all of you back for this second instructional workshop which we will do on chanting with connection according to guidelines of the Acharyas. Done last time. This also is a practice-oriented workshop type of presentation. And I would like to, in the beginning, say what I wish to accomplish. In these two presentations during this Govardhana retreat, I would like to give you tools in your hands which you can apply in your daily practice of japa, meditation, and also of kirtan. Let me just see if there are questions which have arisen during the practice You remember the last time we sat together here was we brought a simple technique of aligning three things. What was it? Yes. When we speak of heart in a context of doing japa, we are referring to a portion of the mind which is described in our philosophy. There are three functions of the mind: thinking, feeling, and willing. When we say concentrate your mind, we really refer to the thinking, that we bring our thoughts and direct them towards the mantra and let them be flooded. When we refer to the heart, who could of you can imagine what part of the inner or subtle body we refer to? The feeling, right. And when we talk about chanting with the heart, we mean chanting with devotional feelings. If a devotee does not bring his feelings to Krishna consciousness, he will most probably either develop emotional starvation and turn into an develop some idiosyncrasies, that is, some strangeness. Or when he doesn't engage his feelings, the feeling portion of the mind in Krishna consciousness, what he will also do is he will be emotionally so starved that he will leave Krishna consciousness either for a short time by looking at movies which address his feelings, or doing something which addresses his feelings. I don't want to give examples which do not describe exactly. Or he will just feel, I don't feel anything. Like one of my disciples wrote me that by following only the logical aspects, the philosophy, she felt, especially Mataji's subject, she lost herself. And she sent me a book by a quite well-known author, Auf dem Weg zu Gott ohne mich, you know, that is in English, it translates, On the Way to God Without Me, you know, they are not really there, they don't feel, and if you don't feel something on your way to God, you will not identify yourself, and you will not be able to do a full commitment of yourself. So it's very important to engage the heart and to engage it in a spiritual way. Those devotees are the most healthy devotees psychologically and spiritually, who are well rounded in their physical well-being, their external practice, but who are also able to go inside and who feel for Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada once said, this is a very feeling movement. No? When we hear about Gauranga Mahaprabhu's ecstasies or the loving dealings amongst the devotees, how much they appreciate and each other and share affection in their heart, all this relates to the feeling aspect. I hope I do not get on your nerves, because in our movement is very brain oriented, because we have a lot of philosophy, and we have also many people who leave us after some time because that aspect may not be there. So it is not wrong to feel for Krishna things like regret or I was today very, 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 I was smiling today. Remember how Bhujan Prabhu told us we must infuse our chanting with the devotional feelings of the acharyas. Have you listened to this Jai Gopal? No, you were not there. And then this devotee sang from the Krishna Balaram temple, and he choked up, because of course when you're from Bengal and you sing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to cry. So I thought, he is showing us what Bhujan Prabhu was talking about. Huh? He was moved. Have you also noted? He was moved. No? He was moved. That is required. That is not just something for Matajis to consider. It is for all of us. When you hear the songs of the acharyas, where they talk about regret, these are all feelings. This is some devotional feelings. Huh? If you cut half of your subtle body away from you, that is your feelings and your willing, where will you go? You will be an amputated person who cannot reach the goal. And then he will find after some time, well, my God, I've neglected part of me, and so on. Good. Who of you has practiced with these three guidelines? Yes, that's about 1/8 of the audience. That's a big turnout in the Hare Krishna movement. You talk, and no one does anything on the. Please practice it. Tomorrow, you need to chant in an absorbed way. Don't forget, these three things are meant to help you to absorb yourself. Absorption is necessary to survive the 64-round stay and to make a positive experience. So, Krishna. By the way, it was much more than 1/8. I just wanted to get a little on your nerves. That is, the ones who were not applying. It was half of you. So that's very nice. I'm amazed. I'm very amazed. So the other half who did not practice, this is practice. This is practice oriented. May I make a joke with you? No, yes. Can I have a pen for this joke? Does it have a thick line or a thin line? What? I need a thick line pen. It looks a little bit thicker. I have a god brother whom I will not name at this moment, because it is he would get in difficulty, because it's an intense joke. This godbrother of mine once drew what he thinks is a good representation of a devotee. He's physically not very evolved, because he doesn't move. He has a huge head with a big mouth for eating prasadam. That is really good developed. And a huge brain and small eyes to see. Ears, he has also ears. Ears are good. Especially for the internet news. Mm-hmm. As much as we can laugh in a joke situation, it should make us think. We need to develop some muscles here. Some muscles means by practice. We must practice spiritual life. Huh? Not just, that's very important for our well-round, overall well-being. Very, very important. Oh my God, I better take this away because it's not... We want practical devotees, spiritually enlivened, spiritually strong, not just theoretical, practicing members. This is the end of this Hare Krishna. Please forgive me, but this was the joke. Those who gave me the pens, thank you very much. So please practice tomorrow. This is another session for practicing. It gets a little bit more now advanced. The main problem which we usually encounter when we come in contact with Krishna and with Japa in particularly is what the Bhagavatam calls Viparyaya Smriti, an intelligence which has, and a mind which has moved away from Krishna. I think therefore this year the motto is turn to Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, this diverted intelligence or distracted intelligence manifests in a kind of, let us say, spiritual limbo position. We are not here and we are not there. What I mean is we have a little indifference towards our spiritual practice. We are usually lazy for spiritual activities, and we are suffering from a constant restlessness which comes when there are many material thoughts in our mind, when there are many plans in the mind. When we have to finally sit down, we become either overwhelmed by tamas, that means we are lazy and sleepy, or by rajas, that means our thoughts become restless and we can't concentrate. All this leads us to a certain disconnection with our spiritual practice, which you could call an indifference, really, to sadhan and to the holy name and so on and so forth. These three things, restlessness, laziness, and indifference, bring us to a state where we are inattentive. Sorry, please excuse me. Inattentive when we chant Hare Krishna. Do you notice already how inattentive you are while you chant and either in Japa and Kirtan? Have you noticed that already? I also notice it. And have you seen when you try to bring the mind back, it's possible for a little time, but again, the mind seems to go into this zone of distractedness. And no matter what you do, you seem to not be able to get a handle on the mind. Have you noticed that? This is because the mind is not sufficiently purified, and therefore it just cannot function very well on the spiritual platform, where the mind should naturally remember Krishna, his form, his activities, his while you chant the holy name. This is very natural. See, when you have a name, let us say, throw out a name, Burijan Prabhu. Immediately when we hear this name, we see Burijan Prabhu getting up, excited during the kirtan, making this movement of the blissful raising of the arms in kirtan, calling with a voice which crackles in the middle, Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, etc. And just the name invokes his qualities, his intellectual genius, his seriousness as a devotee, etc. Many such qualities. That is a natural function which happens in the mind whenever we call upon the name of anyone. However, because our mind is materialistic, when we hear the name Krishna 2 hours a day, my God, and here on the holy name retreat, with all these kirtans, we are really chanting much more the holy name than we are accustomed to. But still, the images are not really coming very regularly and very consistently. It's always interrupted. It's only an occasional memory of Krishna when we are provoked by the lecturer to think of your favorite picture of Krishna, etc. This is a diseased state of consciousness which comes about because our perceptions and mind are solidly bound to the material energy. What we want to attain in spiritual practice is we want to bind our mind with Krishna. Thank you. Yes, with Krishna. This is called in Sanskrit Sambandha. Sambandha means totally bound. This is, something which we need to learn. After the First World War, there was a poem, a poet called Novalis, or Friedrich von Hardenberg, maybe you heard his name, a very famous author, who said, we need a school for loving. We need to learn to love. So that we can avoid a Second World War. It was not partnership love. We need just friendship, you know, that type of feeling we need to cultivate. Our bhakti school is such a school for developing spiritual love. It is a very important school and a very important training. And the principle which you need to operate with in this school is Sambandha. That's where it starts. That's the first entry. You must learn to bind your mind with Krishna. For this you read, for this you read the scriptures so that you can think more of God. Do you know that all the rules in this bhakti school which we learn only aim for 2 outcomes? The outcome is to always remember Krishna, and the second is to never forget him. This is how well are you in this school? Where are you? Are you in the first class? Are you in the -10 class? Light years away from from passing the first examination. Very important, my dear devotees. There is a saying which Prabhupada quoted, that is, at the time of death, all you have really is your memory of Krishna. I was thinking when I saw the pictures of our dear Fakir Mohan Prabhu on his deathbed. He couldn't talk any longer, but I could see, because I know him since many years, he was there, he was conscious, I had heard from Madhavananda that he could respond to questions like, do you hear us? And then he raised his hand. He could not talk, but I saw, when I looked at the face, a very beautiful face, a man who was alone with Krishna. He remembered Krishna, and he knew this is his time, and you could see in the expression of his face, he passed the examination. He was in his mind. You can see the face is the index of the mind. No, you can read in someone's face what they think. Not all, everything, but something. So this is the examination for all of us, the final examination. And by that time, we must have learned to this principle, to apply this principle, sambandha, or being bound to the thought of Krishna. That is necessary. This is the school in which you have entered. Please don't see ISKCON only on one level. ISKCON has three levels at least. One is the institution and the organization which organizes very successful spreading of Krishna consciousness. It's outstanding in that field. But there's a second level of ISKCON. It's the process of, it's called Panchanga Bhakti, as you know, associating with the devotees in a loving way, chanting the holy names, reading and relishing the Bhagavatam, visiting the holy Dharma, worshipping the deities. That's the second level. And the third level of ISKCON is something we all aspire for. It is the rare jewel of love. Let me give you the example of an ocean. The ocean has a surface level where there are waves that responds to the institution. Then there is a current in the ocean, a warm current often, sometimes cold current, that is deeper in the ocean. And then there is the depths of the ocean where you find the corals and the ratnas, the jewels and so on. When a person is only on the surface of the ocean, oof, the waves shake him. In the same way, someone who has only accessed that first level of ISKCON is very much shaken by what happens there, especially the scandals which can be compared to huge oil tanks spilling over the ocean. For those animals who are in the ocean, who swim on the surface, that's the death. Many have left our society because of being only accessing that level and being disturbed by the normal waves which come there. Then there's a second level. That is those devotees who find great relishment in the Bhagavatam and in the philosophy. And they may see the human disturbances which happen on the surface, but they are not so much affected by it. They are not so much disturbed by it because they are safe in their practice of Krishna consciousness. From this level, the middle level, you can look to the aspired jewels of love of Godhead, of prema, which are relished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada, and maybe a few of our very exalted or very advanced seniors. So I feel it is important to do justice to all the levels. We absolutely require the organization and institution because it does two things. It helps the spreading of Krishna consciousness, but it also helps us to find a place in the movement. It organizes this very nicely. We absolutely also need the middle section with the wonderful processes, and we also need to look towards the bottom of the practice, the chanting of the holy name. And for this, really, my dear devotees, the middle section and the bottom section is all about Sambandha being totally bound. Before I get into, can you follow what I say? Because my English is not very good. You can follow. Dobro. Then I want to say, someone who is not aware of his sambandha while he practices will only get a shadow of the practice, not the substance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, if we chant without an awareness of our relationship with Krishna, we will get only a shadow of the holy name. I think I talked about this last holy name retreat, but for those of you who have come only for this one, I want to repeat. What happens when you have to eat a shadow? You remain hungry. What happens if you interact only with a shadow of a person who cannot answer back to your questions, who cannot shake your hand, and so on? You will look for other relationships. No? So if you practice without sambandha, without this connection with Krishna, your practice will be done out of duty only. Most of the devotees who come to these smaller japa retreats, I found out, have difficulties to complete their 16 rounds in a day. And they come hoping from the japa retreat, not this one, this is for very different devotees, but they come because they wish some miracle to happen. The facilitator should somehow find the loosened screw in their japa practice and turn it in the right way. If he cannot do it, then they won't come for the next one. It requires two to tango. It requires two to accomplish this. It requires the instructions, but then it requires a receptive audience who, for a difference, practices what they hear. So how are you satisfied with the shadow of the holy name? Why not? It doesn't nourish us spiritually. And my dear devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it so clear. Bhakti can only be done with an attachment. Bhakti cannot be done for long if you do it out of fear. If I don't do this, I go to hell. Bhakti cannot be done, proper bhakti, with just the hope of all my miseries are gone if I practice bhakti. Bhakti can also not be done, like most of us do, with a kartavya buddhi. That means a sense of duty. Okay, when I was young and I was wild after a spiritual name, I went to this initiation sacrifice and I promised, in my blue-eyed naivete, to chant 16 rounds a day without fail. And because I'm a man or woman who thinks integrity is an important value, I now am bound to this promise and I have to chant these 16 rounds somehow or other. Kartavya buddhi, out of duty. This is not how you practice bhakti. Bhakti must be done with raga, is the Sanskrit word. Raga means, it comes from the word color. You see something which entices you, which makes you attached or affectionately inclined. Then you can practice bhakti. Otherwise, you do something else. not bhakti. Bhakti has to do with devotion. See, bhakti is between what bhakti needs, what three elements. Who knows what bhakti requires to consummate bhakti? What that is required? You need Bhagavan. You said, no? Not that I hear right. Who else do you need? A bhakta. And bhakti, the process. It's a triangle. A closed triangle. Then bhakti happens. It's like this lamp here. If I want, it's a lamp, but there is still no light. I need to connect it now with a superior force. Hopefully it's there at this time. Yes, the electricity. And then the essential purpose of the lamp can happen. The lamp doesn't just need this metal and bulb. It needs also electricity. So in the same way, for bhakti to arise, you need Bhagavan, bhakta, and the process, bhakti. Something must go on. Otherwise, you can't speak of bhakti. It's something else. A ritual. It's good. It's religious. But it's not bhakti proper. It's not the item which satisfies the thirst of the soul. So that bhakti is required on Bhagavan, bhakti, and bhakta. But, listen to this, they must be connected. If Bhagavan is there, you are here, somewhere, no thinking of him, nothing, no service, no bhakti, no bhakti process like chanting and so on. If it's disconnected, it's all over the place, it just doesn't happen. And we remain frustrated for the rest of our life. And maybe we stay in the movement because we can have a place to eat and to sleep and so on. But we won't have the real thing. We won't have the experience for which we joined. Sambandha, my dear devotees, is a key which we need to understand. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a simple three-step Sambandha meditation. Can I tell you what the elements are? Why do you want to know this? You want to apply it. Wow, this is the first time in this retreat where I hear this word from your lips. You need to apply it in order to experience it. If I just theorize about electricity and talk, but never connect it, I will never have light. These things, you cannot think yourself into bhakti. A very important thing. You cannot think yourself into bhakti. You must act with the bhakti processes to enter there. It's not theory. It will not happen. So here are the... I now have to get the steam down so that it becomes not all a steamy class here, but a practice-oriented class. My dear devotees, three meditations. First, I am an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. This is how when you sit down, you just have to chant from the soul platform, the spiritual platform, where you are Krishna's servant. I always do this in the morning when I sit down. I've done my cleaning activity, my bathroom related activities, and then I sit down and my whole mind is still in the bathroom, or it's on void. It's just not thinking anything. It's too early to think, but then I say, come on, now you are Krishna's servant. This is the place from where you chant. Second meditation, Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. Krishna is my only master. We have a relationship. I belong to him and he loves me. Once Prabhupada said to a devotee who asked him, how should I chant? He said, you should think while you chant, oh my friend, oh my friend, oh my friend. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I heard this from His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, who heard this from Giriraj Maharaj, and I think it's a nice meditation. So Krishna is my only master. And then, because like all of us, we have always so much to do, the third meditation, the material world is the prison house meant to reform my absent-minded tendency. So in other words, I really have no other business now than this spiritual life, than this connection. This is the most valuable thing. Let my factory, if I run a factory, most of us are poor, let my normal life, let it go in the parking position for a while. It will be there when I come out of my japa. But I'm now here to reform my absent-minded tendencies towards Krishna. This, my dear devotees, is something which in effect translates into a Vaishnava practice called the Bhuta Shuddhi meditation. What's that? Bhuta means the elements and Shuddhi means clear from. It's a meditation which clears you from your connection with the material energy. Bhuta Shuddhi meditation. That's very, very good. Meditation, a practice. Before I go into this with you, I want to meditate. I'm just finishing my theory. Who was it? That was an elephant. Now everyone starts also. Yeah, this is winter time in Braj. Winter is also there. I have told it many times, but I like to tell it here again. There was one great devotee from another sampradaya, Vallabhacharya, but they are quite close to us. And he had received an order to spread Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls, but he thought himself to be incapable to connect the souls who had been absent-minded and had turned away from Krishna with Krishna again. He felt incapable. So he went to the Jamuna, it was here in Vrindavan, and he was overwhelmed with feelings like, how can I preach? What can I do to help people connect with Krishna? And at that time, the birds returned to their nests. Braj became silent. It was a little like now. It's the time before it gets dark. When the shutters go down of our tent and the atmosphere becomes a little cozy and hopefully warm. So when so his servant said, oh, Vallabha, you should go home. It is, but he said, no, I'm staying here until I get an answer from the Lord, how I can connect souls with Him. He stayed, his servants went to sleep under a tree, and he stayed up praying to Krishna. And it is said in the night, the Lord appeared to him. It was as if a sudden flash illuminated the dark, dismal night. Actually, there can be no dismal night in Braj, but the dark night. And the Lord appeared before him and said, it's very simple. To connect souls, you should teach them a simple mantra. It is a Buddha mantra which says really the same thing as in our Buddha Shuddhi meditation. It's a meditation which takes into account the three philosophical points. I'm a servant of Krishna, Krishna is my master, and in this world, my only duty is to connect with him. The meditation in our tradition, I always become very charmed when I see how other traditions have the same, the same basic fundamentals in their sadhana, although they may call it differently. I like very much to see the spirit flowing through all religions and movements, and I like to recognize it and capture it and understand it so that I can practice the essence, which may appear under different names. So in our tradition, or what Prabhupada has given to us, this meditation goes like this. I will read it a little meditatively. I am, by my nature, the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I've been inimical toward him since time immemorial. I have been identifying myself with the body, and I have continuously wandered in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world. I suffered the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I know that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that I'm an infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. Now, by the order of my spiritual master, following his footsteps, I have obtained the good fortune of being able to serve his lotus feet and the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. What you do is you insert the name of the deities when you worship Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha, or you worship Radha Gopinath or Radha Govinda or Radha Madanmohan, you say at the end, now by the order of my spiritual master, following his footsteps, I have obtained the fortune to serve Radha and Krishna, Radha Madanmohan, and so on. It's something which you should do every day. It's a reality check. You should disconnect. My dear devotees, as long as we are identified with a gross and subtle body, we will experience the miseries in our life. What we will do is, we will always try to find relief. Relief from hunger, relief from cold, relief from loneliness, relief from technological loneliness when we don't have the newest iPhone. Relief from this or that problem. But only when we find shelter. It's different from finding relief. Then we will be permanently safe. Most of us, most of my life really also has been engaged in finding relief. Medical relief is a big thing for me because my body was given from a father who was severely wounded in the war. So I have a body which is not so strong because many cannonballs were fired at my father and many bombs were thrown in his mouth and so on. He survived. So I'm not with such good genetic material, you could say. But yes, really, finding this cough relief now, this relief, that relief. Oh, Krishna. But only the soul does not want temporary relief. It needs shelter. There's a huge difference. Are you still looking for relief or have you started to look for shelter? In chanting, we must look for shelter. Not just relief. If we only look for relief, we will soon again look for, be searching. Again we will be crying babies. Srila Prabhupada gave an analogy that when the baby cries, there will be so many uncles and aunties and brothers and nephews who try to give relief to the baby. But only when it finds the lap of the mother and the shelter will it find the milk it requires from the good mother who knows how to satisfy it, take care of the baby in all respects. Shelter is different from temporary relief. So this Buddha Shuddhi meditation brings us to the point where we really recognize our shelter, our eternal shelter. And when you sit down for chanting, the best way to do it is you go through these three steps of meditation. And I want to now do this immediately with you. Before I end this theoretical part, let me see. Is it clear or would you like to pose a question? I see Jai Gopal who wants to pose a question. Yes, Jai Gopal. In the mind, yes. So Jai Gopal has asked a very, very good question which shows his absolutely attentive and alert listening qualities. He has asked, how do the three meditations go into the heart and not stay on the conceptual level? No? Concept level. Yes, is it? Do I say it? In the Upanishadic traditions, Jai Gopal, you find a three-step process which is meant to anchor the knowledge which is taught by the teacher to the disciple in the heart of the disciple. The first step is to listen to something. It's called Shravana. Then, I know that you work in Switzerland with youth as a social worker who upgrades the behavior of the youth. And this will be useful for you, your professional work also. Then the second thing, after Shravana, the student is supposed to do mananaha, that is reflection. There are various things one can do to reflect on a subject. For instance, one can write an article about it, or one can write a letter to someone that helps one to digest the subject a little bit better. Mananaha. One can also reflect about a subject matter by telling it to a near and dear friend and then discussing it with them or with him or her and so on. You can reflect about a subject matter also by gathering more information about the subject, by doing a cross study through other texts and scriptures. Reflection means what we always say in ISKCON, we have to churn the subject. Huh? It means to reflect about it. And then you can internalize it a little bit more. Then, after mananaha, comes nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is you either meditate about the subject, and I'm speaking here with meditation, something which many of us have an idea of, but are not so practiced in their daily life, because we put a lot of emphasis on Shravanam and Kirtanam, and little emphasis on Smaranam. No? But in the Upanishadic tradition, it is said you must meditate about a subject matter, deeply reflect, or, Jai Gopal, apply it in daily life and see what comes out. Be attentive to the signs which you get from the environment as you intrude it with a new concept and a new activity. Something will bounce back on you. No? You will provoke a reaction in the environment. So that is, but then in our tradition, Baladev Vidya Bhushana has added a fourth thing, and that is you must pray for realization of that subject matter. I want to give you an example, because we all like eating, and examples from eating celebrate the biggest popularity in our movement. So I will use such a popular example here. To hear a subject matter can be compared to bringing a glass of or food, let's stay with food, a gulab jamun, to the mouth. It's now very close. To reflect about it is equivalent with ingesting the gulab jamun, having it in the mouth, and then you can feel something. Ooh, so sweet. And so it is, how to describe the symphony of delight which happens upon having a gulab jamun in the body and being under 50 years old. That means they can digest it very nicely, the system. That's delightful. Mananaha, you reflect about it. But only meditating deeply will be like swallowing the food item, and then it can be used to energize your life. No, if you have food but only in the mouth, you reflect about it, but you don't swallow it. That means you don't apply it. Then it will not nourish your life. And the process of praying, it can be, this is my own speculation, my own example, it can be compared with digesting the food. No? So you have asked, how can we bring these three subjects, these three meditations, into the heart? But Jai Gopal, you need to reflect about it. What does it mean that you are a servant of Krishna? That Krishna is your only master, and that what you really should do in this life is to do sadhan and bhajan and seva, you know, these spiritual things. What does it mean? And then you need to apply it. I believe you as one of the most skillful Medanga players I have encountered, you have learned more about surrender when you were tired. The kirtan was not up to your liking. It was done by an inept kirtan leader who couldn't hold the tones and so on. And you nevertheless surrendered to play Medanga, and you knew, this is not for me, this is for the pleasure of Krishna. You have learned in that moment more about it than hearing 20,000 lectures on surrender, because you have applied the concept. You have you're digesting it now. It has given you strength. Anything want to bring it to the heart, you need to swallow the subject. Then it comes, and you need to digest it. You need to engage with the subject. Then you learn. In our movement, there's so much discussion about philosophical intricacies, about guru tattva, about rasa tattva, all this, and so on. But my dear devotees, those devotees who apply themselves into the service of their spiritual master, the guru tattva becomes revealed to them. My dear devotees, you can learn all the Raganuga jargon, in and out, back and forth, all the rasas, vibhava, anubhava, sthayibhava, oof, there's a lot on it. But unless and until you enter through these three meditations, I'm a servant, I'm not the body, I'm meant to surrender, I need to, what else? Krishna is my master, and in this world, this is all I have to do. Unless you do this, it will be theory, and your mind will make it into beautiful, effulgent weapons with which you can win any argumentation, because you are so adept in all of this. But nothing sticks to your heart. If you don't do this, Upanishad, the thing of bringing the thing down, away from the concepts. We don't want this person to come up again. big head, yes, and everything underdeveloped. He needs practice, this person. We have thrown him away. He is not no longer there. Have I answered your question to you? Pray. Imagine there is a Krishna. I'm not saying there is. But just imagine. Just the vague possibility that there's a God who controls and hears is already enough to change the life totally. You know. So, Hare Krishna. Now, my dear devotees, enough of the theory. We want to now we want to learn all this now. Are you ready?